A Foreigner in Britain by Ramon Ibarra Rubio and Fiona Smith. Copyright Burlington Books, 2013. All rights reserved. Prologue. My name's Antonio, and I'm Spanish, but my father is American. I've just finished my degree. I studied English at Salamanca University, probably the most popular Spanish university among foreign students. Sometimes there were so many British people around me that I almost forgot that I was in Spain. I made some good British friends there, and I love going to visit them in Britain. One day, I was sitting in a cafe in Madrid with my English friend Mark. We were drinking cold drinks and eating tapas. "Britain's a funny place," I said.
"What do you mean funny?" Mark asked.
"Well, it's different," I said. "There are so many contradictions about Britain. The British people, for example. Sometimes they're cold and distant. When they sit on buses or trains, especially on the underground, they don't usually look at anybody and nobody talks. But they like travelling to different countries and meeting different people. Also, there's their appearance. The young people have red or blue hair, and some of their clothes are, well, strange."
"You're generalising," said Mark. "Not all British people are reserved, and not all young British people have red or blue hair."
"And are you talking about the British or the English? Because we're not all English, you know. It's called Britain for a reason. It includes the Scots and the Welsh as well."
"Yes, I know, and I am generalising. But I've seen some strange things in Scotland and Wales as well," I explained.
"Antonio, what are you trying to say?" Mark asked with a smile.
"I'm trying to say that Britain is a fascinating place. The English, Scots and Welsh are fascinating people, and Britain has a wonderful culture and history. Every time I go there, something surprises me."
"Well, you said you wanted to be a writer. Perhaps you should write about Britain," laughed Mark.
"Yes, perhaps I should. That's a good idea," I answered. And that's exactly what I did. I wrote about my impressions as a foreigner in Britain. The country, the people, the culture, the food, and of course, the weather. Here's the book. I hope you enjoy it.
Chapter 1. Traditional London. I love visiting London. It's one of the most exciting cities in the world. There's something for everyone. A rich history, wonderful museums, great theatre, innovative music, and an incredible variety of ethnic food. Recently, I visited London for the New Year with Pablo, a Spanish friend of mine. He had never been there before. At the end of our first day, we went to a pub. Like many pubs in Britain, it had a very relaxed atmosphere. There were comfortable chairs, a carpet on the floor, and the lighting wasn't very bright. It also had an enormous selection of beers, which are usually served in pint glasses. A pint is approximately half a litre. We got a couple of pints of beer and sat down to talk, but the barman soon interrupted our conversation.
"Sorry, gentlemen," he said. "We're closing in 20 minutes. Can I get you anything else?"
I ordered two more pints and promised the barman that we would finish them before closing time.
"He's joking, isn't he? It's only 10:40, exclaimed Pablo, as the barman went to the bar to get our pints.
"No, he isn't," I laughed. "That's what happens here."
"Then let's finish our beers quickly and find another pub that doesn't close so early," said Pablo.
"You don't understand," I explained. "Most of the pubs in Britain close at the same time, 11 o'clock.
"That's crazy," exclaimed Pablo. "There are bars in Spain that don't open until 11 o'clock.
"Well, maybe that's the reason why British people drink so quickly," I said.
As we walked out of the pub, I asked Pablo what his first impressions of London were. His answer surprised me. "I think it's a very traditional city," he said. "The buildings, the way of life, even the time that the pubs close." I had never thought of that before. He was right. London's a very modern and cosmopolitan city, but it is also very traditional. "Well, Pablo," I said, "tomorrow I'll take you for what I think is Britain's most distinctive tradition, afternoon tea." "But the British drink tea all the time. Why is drinking tea in the afternoon so distinctive?" asked Pablo. "You'll see tomorrow," I said. "Trust me." The next afternoon, I took Pablo to a good hotel in the centre of London. We sat at a table in a beautiful room, enjoying the tea and the atmosphere. Everyone in the tea room was nicely dressed. "Everything is so civilised here, isn't it?" Pablo exclaimed. "Yes, it certainly is," I replied, smiling. "You see, tea in Britain is a light meal, often eaten around 4 o'clock. The tea room was full of people sitting at tables, drinking tea and talking quietly. Many of the people were eating small cucumber sandwiches, cake and scones. Scones are a type of sweet bread that you eat with jam and cream. I don't like cream, so I ate my scone just with jam. It's difficult to believe that I'm in the largest capital city in Europe in the 21st century, said Pablo. It feels like I'm in one of those old British films. On New Year's Eve, Pablo and I went to Trafalgar Square, which is the traditional place to celebrate New Year's Eve in London. It is an enormous area quite near Big Ben and the Houses of Parliament, and there were more than 20,000 people in the square. Almost everyone was wearing funny hats, and there was a very festive atmosphere. Midnight finally came, and we waited to hear Big Ben announce the new year. The countdown began. 10, 9, 8, 3, 2. Suddenly people began to shout, "Happy New Year!" We couldn't hear the bells because there was so much noise. A man turned round to wish us a Happy New Year and saw that we looked disappointed. "What's wrong?" he asked. "It's New Year's Eve. It's time to have fun." "I didn't hear the bells," I replied. "I thought that people came here to listen to Big Ben at midnight." The man smiled and said, "Well, I've been here many times on New Year's Eve, and I've never heard them. There are too many people here. You need to be next to Big Ben to hear it." Pablo and I were completely confused. "Then why do you come here?" asked Pablo. The man didn't hesitate. "Because it's tradition, mate," he said. One of London's greatest traditions is producing some of the best theatre in the world. I don't think a visit to London is complete without going to the theatre. There are 60 theatres in London, most of them in the West End, London's theatre district. I try to go to the theatre at least once when I visit London. My most memorable theatrical experience in London was 2 years ago, and it wasn't in the West End. It was in an area called Southwark, pronounced Southwark, on the south bank of the River Thames, at the Globe Theatre. The original Globe Theatre was where most of Shakespeare's plays were performed for the first time. It was built in 1599, but unfortunately burned down in the middle of the 17th century and was destroyed again 30 years later. The new Globe Theatre was finished in 1997, only 300 years later. I had studied Shakespeare at university and was excited about seeing one of his plays in the theatre where they were originally performed. The Globe has the shape of an O, and plays are only performed from April until October because there isn't a roof over the centre of the building. If it rains, you get wet, and it rains a lot in London. I went in August, and it rained both before and after the performance, but fortunately not during. The theatre has seats for over 1,000 people, and another 700 people can stand in the centre of the O. The people who stand are called groundlings. I had a fantastic time at the Globe. I bought a groundling ticket for the afternoon performance. Nearly everyone had an umbrella, and the ground was wet and muddy from the rain. I was quite cold at the start of the play, but soon forgot about it, because I was having a great time. The actors made some of their entrances and exits by pushing through the audience. I almost fell into the mud when one of the actors pushed me as he was leaving. Luckily, a young man behind stopped me falling. I took advantage of a 5-minute break between acts to thank him. His name was Mike, and he was a lighting designer from a theatre in the West End. "This is incredible," I said. "Except for the fact that everyone is wearing modern clothes, I feel like I'm back in the early 1600s. "Well, there are a few other differences," said Mike. "Really? What are they?" I asked. "Well, one difference is that today, women play the female roles," Mike explained. "Women weren't allowed to be actresses in Shakespeare's time. The female roles were played by teenage boys." "Yes, I know. I must admit that I prefer seeing real women on stage," I said.
"So do I, mate," agreed Mike.
"What are some of the other differences?" I asked. "Probably the biggest difference between Shakespeare's time and now is that then the groundlings ate, drank, and talked during the performance," he explained. "But then they'd be too distracted to watch the play, wouldn't they?" I asked.
"Believe me, they paid attention," Mike assured me. "As a matter of fact, if they didn't like an actor's performance, they shouted at him and even threw their food at him."
It's a pity that modern audiences are much more polite. It would be fun to feel like a real groundling from Shakespeare's time, I said with a laugh.
"Listen, I've come to the Globe many times," said Mike. "The audiences are more polite, but I've seen some strange things happen here."
Before I could ask him to give me some examples, the next act began, and we both started to watch the performance. About 10 minutes later, Mike whispered in my ear,
"Do you want to see something strange?"
"Of course," I answered.
"Then look to your right," Mike said.
I casually looked to my right and was completely surprised by what I saw. There was a girl standing a few meters away from me, feeding a small dog she had under her arm. It was definitely the first and only time I've seen a dog in the audience at the theatre. Mike and I went for a coffee after the performance. He told me that he could get me free tickets to the theatre whenever I visited London. He's certainly a good person to know.